Dead can dance there. You are tuned to 90.3 WZBC in Newton. Now we heard two tracks from Dead Can Dance from their Spirit Chaser. And hey, wasn't that with the new Without You in there? Did you get a chance to see that George Harrison presentation on HBO? It was really incredible. And I have an event to tell you about. This is happening tonight, and we're having a mystical art and talent show. And this happens at the Swedenborg Chapel, which is at 50 Quincy Street in Cambridge. And it's an event that draws upon dreams, meditations, religion, nature. And it's a presentation of a variety of original paintings, readings, storytelling, and songs by local artists in a spiritual vein. So check that out tonight, 7 o'clock, running till 9:30. And there's a minimal donation requested. Swedenborg Chapel, which is across from Sanders Theater in beautiful Harvard Square, Cambridge. And it is now time for Expanding Awareness, in which I often conduct live interviews, either regarding some aspect of the paranormal, or I might feature holistic health. And from time to time, we cover animal rights and such. And with us live in studio is Catherine Depp-Utott, and she is a writer, a photographer, and a clarity worker. And she's also a dowser and literary midwife and energy worker. And she facilitates clear direction and clear expression in body and mind, in life and in writing. She is author of Love's Way, Reflections and Practices, and Getting Unstuck. And she is a founder of Clarity Work, Boston Reiki Healing, and Love's Freeway. And she has a practice based in Boston, and she has clients all around the globe, and she has worked with an inner exploration process. And also with us is Walter Ness, and he is the creator of the inner exploration process, and he is founder of Neuroplasticity Club, and also the New Beat Poets, and Energy Theater. And we're going to talk about all these various processes. Good morning, folks.
Hi, Victor.
Good morning.
Okay, I'm going to start with you, Walter. What is the inner exploration process?
Well, a lot of my students who have learned how to do this say the same thing. What is, how do I explain this? It's like posing a question, what is science? There's just so much different things to it. So I'll just give you some examples of what you can do when you know how to consciously interact with life energy, chi energy at all times. Like at this moment, I've decided to travel up and down my spine, check out the sensations in my spine. Now I moved into my face, feeling sensations in my face, go into my eyes, go behind my eyes, check out my legs, check out my abdomen. It's a very fluid system of life energy interaction, and what can come out of it is a better understanding of who you are as a conscious spiritual being, because you are experiencing energy and body interaction, so you know you're not just a physical person. It's a very difficult concept to explain of what is inner exploration process, but because that's basically, it means inner, you go inside to check yourself out. Exploration, because you're exploring chi, life, body interaction, and it's a process. You just continuously keep refining the understanding of what it is and what it means.
All right, now how do we know you're just you're not just imagining that you're going into your spine, into your face, into your head?
That's a good question. How are you? How do you know that you're really talking to me, or are imagining of talking to me?
Oh, come on!
Really? Because it's a silly question. How do you know? I mean, it's a pose. The thing is that everything you experience, even if it's delusional, is energy based. If you say, because I've done this, I've actually caused my brain to create delusional states just so I could study them. And everything you experience, everything you are having an experience is real. It's made out of something. How can you validate that it actually is the experience? Well, when a person first shows up to the neuroplasticity club, the first thing we have them do is learn the concept of travel. So they start behind their head and travel into the middle of their brain, where they find a peaceful spot, and then once they become aware of it, as fast as they can think of a person, an image of them will show up, and then all of a sudden you teach them how to have holographic abilities. Now, instead of seeing an image, you actually walk inside the image. Now, these are people who have never had experiences like that, and all of a sudden they can walk inside of a picture instead of just seeing a picture, because all images are made out of energy, and because it's made out of energy, they are in fact three-dimensional, and if you have to know it. So how do you prove it to that person that it's real, that it's not just hallucination? They come in, have an experience, and they make a judgment of themselves when they go home. Can they reproduce it? A gentleman named Bill Russell, the famous Celtic, in his book talks about having holographic abilities. He said he found out when he was like 16 years old that he could look at somebody playing on a court, practicing, and that he could replay that like a video in his brain. Then after he's seen it enough times, he would ask for the image of the player to disappear, and his own image would take the place inside the video, inside of his brain, and he would replay it over and over again until he felt comfortable. Then he would go on the court and actually do the same movement he saw in his mind. Now, he was never able to train or teach people how to do that. In fact, he was a little bit frightened of letting people know that this was a real ability. Well, how do you know he's not hallucinating that? Well, he can go on court and make it happen. So either you believe him or not. But with us, you don't have to believe it. You can go through the experience and have it happen. Catherine wants to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to add that as a student with Walter, my experience, well, I it just happened. As Walter started to speak, I noticed my radio jitters, and I immediately moved my energy from the front to the back. So he was saying, I'm in my spine traveling up and down. Well, I went to the back of my body, and my body became calm. And that's something I learned from the inner exploration process from working with Walter, is that in an instant, in any instant, you know, I'm about to make a huge presentation, or I'm about to go to my mother's funeral, or, you know, whatever, that there, whatever is stirring physically, emotionally, spiritually, I said physically, to really tune into that, and then to have choice is a big word here, and flexibility about that moment. So in this moment, I could sit here really nervous, or not really nervous, you know, jittery, or I could just move my energy to a different place and be instantly calm. And that's one of the things that attracted me to this, is to have that choice, and to have that freedom and flexibility. And well, and another thing I wanted to say is Walter is highly clairvoyant. So for him, and I think this is, I'm guessing for him, this is part of his frustration in answering, not frustration, but over with students answering that question, or even answering your question, is he sees it. He actually literally sees it. So as I'm sitting across from him, working with him, I'll move my energy in that way, and he'll say, good, you got it. Because he can see it, so it's a little easier for him, and the rest of us don't necessarily see the actual movement of the energy.
One of the things that I want to state, that people show up at the neuroplasticity club and form the same question: how do you know what I'm experiencing is real? And I tell them, I don't teach kindergarten stuff. You know, this is like, if you want to go to kindergarten energy studying, you can say, is it real? You treat it as real if you can perceive it and feel it, and then you describe what it is you're feeling, how you're feeling it. If you can't go past this point of saying, okay, I'm having an experience, let me analyze it, let me figure out what it's about, and if you keep staying with it, is it real, then you really don't belong in the research of how energy phenomena works.
Because what's happening with that is when you're questioning is it real or not, it's thinking. It's the thinking mind. It's just thinking, it's brain, and it's the brain working, and it's what I might call, or Walter might call, 100% Catherine, if I'm doing that. I'm being 100% Catherine. When I'm all jittery about a presentation, I'm being 100% Catherine. And this is another part of the flexibility, is having the choice to move away from, to be that or move away from that and be maybe 2% Catherine, and what I or anywhere in between, or even 0.25%. I went through a year's worth of notes of doing this work with Walter and with others and practicing and so on, and I found two occasions where I've experienced being 0.25% Catherine. What does that mean? That means that I was so out of my ego container, if you will, that I was traveling to other dimensions, being in other dimensions. It wasn't traveling. I mean, it was removing the illusion that I'm separate from the other dimensions, going into vortexes, going through portals. And this all sounds very dramatic, but it was not. It was just what happens when you back off from that 100%.
In religion circles, they refer to let God. And energy studying, you realize you have an energy system, and if it has to spend 100% of its ability to create the energetic pattern of Walter, it has no ability or no resources like a computer to create intuitive states or other abilities that you can turn on. But if you say, okay, I want to run Walter at 2%, I still feel like Walter, there's really no difference, but all of a sudden, my intuitive psychic side just explodes. I can pick up all kinds of information. It's easier to process information, whether it's physical, at work, or anything else. But if I insist that it has to be 100% Walter, all of a sudden, all my creative abilities disappear, all my intuitive abilities disappear. It seems like a paradox that you can actually run your energetic template at a low percentage and increase your abilities, but that's the nature of energy. You have to kind of understand how it works, no different than knowing how the physical laws that govern Earth and the universe work.
No, I don't think we've defined neuroplasticity.
Well, science has started, our scientists have started talking about how you can repeat something, doing it over and over again, and the neural pathways are created to make the process automatic. So, like writing, I mean, you used to spend years and years practicing writing, and one day neural pathways were created, and you no longer had to pay attention how you write. It just automatically happens because your body now has the ability to be a secretary to you. One of the things that I discovered that we already have neural pathways in our body that we can discover and use, one of them being if you keep your energy in the front, so your energetic sensations feel in the front, all of a sudden you feel friendlier to people, you can be easily talked into buying things you don't want. So you're just by the location of where you keep your chi energy, different neural pathways are activated inside your brain. If you move your energy behind you so you feel like your back and spine, you become a little bit detached. You can no longer be talked into buying things. You look at things more practically. You can go to the very center of the brain, and all of a sudden, if you have had tremors, they will stop shaking. If you go in the center, you feel a sense of peace about you. Not only that, but if you look in a mirror, your face will change. It will be more defined. Not only that, but if you look at people while you are aware of the center of the brain, they become easier to see because they become more sharper. If you open your eyes and are aware of the place in the center of the brain, everything looks clearer to you. One of the things that I posted is the fact that Linda Clave and I were doing some research why people who meditate are in really, really good meditative state. As soon as they open their eyes, they go into tension. It didn't make any sense because they were saying, wow, this feels so wonderful being relaxed. And then all of a sudden their eyes open and tension comes back. So in our research, we learned that if you create tension in the body, all of a sudden everything becomes sharper looking. So let's say your survival is dependent on how you look at things. And if the only way you know how to look at things sharper is by becoming tense, then every time you open your eyes, you're giving instructions to your brain to activate those neural pathways that create tension in the body, which end result is sharper images. Now, if you go into the center of the brain and open your eyes and pay attention to the center of the brain, the neural pathways that are activated give you sharp-looking images, but your body is not required to go into tension.
Now, some might ask, why do this? You know, why do any of that? And I think it's important to emphasize here that all of this that Walter's talking about and more is what's happening with the energy under certain circumstances. Well, these things are happening whether we know they are or not. So, in other words, or another way to say that is, we're manifesting all the time. Energy is manifesting something all the time. So, for example, if I'm talking about being really happy about something, that energy is manifesting happiness in all these certain parts of my body. And if I tune into that, I can actually get the energy pattern. This is what happiness is energetically. The same with dissatisfaction, the same with turbulence. It's one thing to talk about or read about or learn about string theory and quantum physics and law of attraction and all that. It's another thing to get it energetically and to experience it energetically. So when I experience that talk about turbulence and turbulence, the energetic pattern for that shows up, or dissatisfaction, or name one, Victor. I mean, what would be something that you hear someone talk about all the time, or maybe lack of money, or you know, whatever. So that is that there's an energetic pattern that goes with that. And it's just like pulling, this room is filled with CDs. It's just like pulling out that CD. Okay, I'm going to play that music right now. These are all energy patterns. And to get facility with, or to tune into what is actually happening when these, even just naming the word, when that, what shows up with that is another example of what I mean by the flexibility and the choice and the freedom that comes with this. And there was the other thing about that is discovering, for instance, I'm a lap swimmer, and out of working with Walter, I discovered, oh, I can call up in a moment the energy of my 5-year-old self or my 17-year-old self, for example. So when I finish lap swimming, I always stretch, and when day after day, year after year after year after year, I was doing this. And then along comes neuroplasticity, and suddenly I can stretch as a 5-year-old, or I can stretch as a 17-year-old. Why is that interesting? Well, one could only imagine stretching as a 5-year-old as opposed to a grown woman. Mm-hmm. But I had an injury when I was, how old was I? 17, I guess. So I can stretch prior to that neck injury or shoulder and neck injury and not experience the limitation physically. This sounds hard to believe, but this is what happens. I don't experience the limitation of that injury. Suddenly I can stretch much farther than I could 2 seconds before, just because I said, okay, run the energy of my 16-year-old or 5-year-old.
Now, how similar or dissimilar is neuroplasticity to, like, visualization? You talked about that Celtic player. It sounds like visualization.
He wasn't visualizing. One of the things that Bill Russell described is that he could actually see it like a video. In other words, it wasn't something that he said, I'm going to visualize what it's like for this player to make this move on a court and replay it. He was startled the fact that it started playing in front of him when he closed his eyes. He just could see it.
Now, so, was this a spontaneous experience? Was he looking to have
No, he was not looking at it. He just all of a sudden he discovered he could actually do it. And okay. he used the word discover. Visualization mm-hmm. implies that you do some process to make something occur.
What is your opinion of that? Do you believe in that process of, let's say, visualizing money and attracting it to you?
Well, you know, I think that based upon what I know about the energy system, you can ask it, show me making money, show me best situation where I can be a better person. And you will have images show up. And so by recognizing that, by asking, and this is the most difficult thing for people to learn, is all you have to do is ask and an image will show up. Visualization says, I'm in charge, I'm going to make it happen. So, you know, how is a person able to actually make that occur? The reality is, you know, you can force an image to show up, and then you are limited by what shows up, or you can have an asking, saying, show me an image of myself in this situation. And if you don't like it, you can say, no, make it a little bit more brighter, make me a little bit more happier. And so you're giving directions as if you were actually creating a program yourself, and you see the image changing. And once you actually have the image occur in a way that you feel the vibrations from it, you can say, okay, now enter my body. And this image that you're seeing, which is pure energy, will now get bigger and all of a sudden encompasses your whole body, so you are living what you are seeing. Whereas in visualization, go ahead.
I have a very concrete personal example of that. It was my first time at the Neuroplasticity Club, and I don't remember exactly what Walter was leading, but I do know that I put myself, I had just returned from a year in Ireland. It was a big love fest, the whole experience of being there and the relationship that I was enjoying and all of that, and that all ended unexpectedly when I returned, and I was upset, sad about that, and missing my life in Dublin. So off I go to Neuroplasticity Club that autumn, and so in an instant, I manifested this. There's that word again. Energetically, physically, emotionally, visually, that being in love. I mean, it was a life of just living in love. And I got something that in all my study and in all my practice and in all my professional life, I've really never gotten experientially in that way, which is it's not that person, it's not that place. It's an energy pattern that showed up, triggered, you know, by circumstances. But I carry that with me, and I can be in love just exactly that same, have that exact same experience, just as if, it's sort of the Bill Russell example, just as if it's happening now. And it's not kind of like that. It is that. So I was being in love in that moment, and I got all the implications of that. And so I kept coming back.
People who actually do energy at some point will have to make an effort to understand how energetic phenomena works so that they can consciously interact with it, not just channeling healing energy. I can put my hands in front of me and I can create any energetic field of any system out there in the world, whether it's Reiki or Joe Ray or anything, just by requesting it. I understand that healing is a very important process for people that need to be passive and being given energy to. But the energetic healer, the person who actually is using energy, they become more and more sensitive to energetic fluctuation. And we actually teach how energetic fluctuation works and how to deal consciously with it. So you can ask it to disappear or give you another form. This is ultimately something that people who are into energy are going to have to learn. Because the more they channel energy, the faster the fluctuations in their field occurs, and they have to deal with it. And you can't heal that. The only thing you can do is learn to understand and know how to interact with it. As fast as it changes, that's how fast you have to learn how to interact with it.
And back to your question, Victor, about money and manifesting and visualizing and so on. It's one thing for me to re-experience that love that I experienced. It's another thing to experience the energy of something I've never experienced. So let's say someone has never had money or never had wealth of that sort. And how do you do that? How do you run that energy? Well, this is the other part of this whole what's available in this inner exploration process. It's not exactly just inner. So what Walter was just pointing to, if you take that to the next step, you can see anything can be brought in. He said Joe Ray, Reiki, reconnective therapy. I mean, just go on and on and on, and that includes Christ, Buddha, Krishnamurti, who else could we name? I mean, so in my Reiki practice, for example, I often run, we would use the term run the energy of Christ. So what was the energetic experience of Christ when he was using his hands for healing? When that happens, when I'm doing that in Reiki, it's a whole other experience that I have versus the experience that I have, and the client for that matter, because I see the response in them, than if I'm running Buddha or not calling those other energy patterns in. And it's very, maybe sounds strange to call that an energy pattern, but this is what I hope people, one of the things I hope people might take away from listening today is everything is energy, everything is fluid, everything is not fixed but malleable, and it's all connected. So everything is available. I wanted to know what it was like for Eric Pearl to do reconnective therapy. So rather than going to his workshop, I ran his energy, and I experienced, with the help of my cat, what it was like to do reconnective therapy. It's a very, I mean, that's one of the benefits. It's a very shorthand way to experience some of these other energy.
So we don't have to pay for
that's right.
Reiki 3 and 4 trainings or TM.
Well, the thing is that when you have organizations like Reiki, they are a community and they pay money to learn something and to be introduced to one style of floating energy. And it's an important thing to be able to do it because you're starting out. You're a beginner in the whole concept of energetic phenomena. But what happens if you actually all of a sudden need more understanding of how energy phenomena goes? Where are you going to go to? Well, we are an educational process. We actually teach people how to learn who they are, to travel inside their body, to a life-energy interaction by asking the energy to manifest at the split second what they want and noticing how that works. So this process is really, really valuable for me, because I've learned that instead of just working on problems, if I feel an energetic problem in any part of my body, I just go somewhere else where the problem doesn't exist. And when I return to where the problem was, it dissipated, it dissolved. Because energetic problems get created, and we're sort of like trapped in them. If we don't realize, we can just move out of the area that has the energetic signals that we are being troubled by and just go to a different place where the problem doesn't exist.
This is the antithesis of that's just the way I am. That's just the way things are. It's quite the opposite. It's the other end of the spectrum. So when I hear someone say, this is the way I am, take it or leave it, all I can say is, well, if you say so.
Mm-hmm.
But objectively, you know, actually that's not. Doesn't have to be true, let's say.
Okay, I want to remind you that you're listening to Expanding Awareness, and this is Victor Robert Venskus, and with us live in studio is Walter Ness, founder of the Neuroplasticity Club and the New Beat Poets, and he also created a program called Energy Theater, and he is also the creator of Inner Exploration Process. And with us also is Catherine Deputat, and she's a writer, photographer, clarity worker, dowser, and a literary midwife and energy worker. She facilitates clear direction and clear expression in body and mind, in life and in writing, and she is author of Love's Way, Reflections and Practices, and Getting Unstuck, and she is the founder of Clarity Work, Boston Reiki Healing, and Love's Freeway. And I want to invite folks to give a call here about your questions, comments, and opinions about what you have heard so far. And if you have questions regarding visualizations and affirmations and such, do give us a call, 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686. And do keep it ringing. We have six lines, and I'll push that button when it's your turn. Good morning. You're on the air with Walter and Catherine.
Hi, Victor. It's Linda Clave. I've worked with Walter for years, and I've had the privilege of knowing Catherine in the last year. And what they're saying is really valuable to all energy workers and people who do body work and who work with helping people understand their inner potential. And I'm glad they're on today because it's good work to know about.
Okay. Do you want to say anything more, Linda?
No, that's it.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. All right. The number here is 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686. And do give a call. We're talking about various forms of energy and focusing on the Neuroplasticity Club. Now, why did you choose to call it club?
Well, it just seems like a place that people can get around and talk about, interact with energy phenomena, and talk more precisely about how energy phenomena works. We certainly welcome individuals to showcase their abilities, but we also want to show people how good you can be with energetic phenomena. Interacting with it.
I'm sorry, Walter, I cut you off again. I was just going to say that what's possible. I just keep feeling like my impetus for asking Victor to come to the show today was I just want people to know about this and what's possible with this. And for me, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but just to say a few things. How it changed my Reiki practice. I can ask the energy, show me the action of the Reiki. I know Reiki knows where to go and does what needs to be done, but to actually be able to ask now and then to see what it's doing, how beneficial that is. I can see why a person came for treatment. I can ask, show me the throat chakra, show me the heart chakra, and I'll instantly see what's going on there. Before, I was channeling Reiki, which is a wonderful thing, but to have no... it's kind of like doing it blindfolded, and now I can see now the blindfold is taken off. It's improved my relationship with many, but primarily my greatest teacher right now, my cat, and being able to go actually into the cat and see what's going on. She's 18 and a half years old and has had some things going on, and what a gift to be able to. I don't have to call the pet psychic. You know, I can be doing this myself, seeing into. And I'm saying seeing into, I don't know if others would put it that way, but that's how it feels to me. Seeing into plants, seeing into the nature kingdom, having a new collaboration with nature spirits, and that adding a new layer to my whole endeavor called Love's Freeway, being able to change, as I said, posture and temper and emotions and the physical facial mask according, like changing clothing, picking a color. And also, as I talked about the teachers and healers, to be able to run their energy, there's also, I just recently learned about the Genesa crystal, sacred geometry. It's an energy tool. And I realized that, and that's the other thing I forget to ask, like Walter said, that people don't remember to necessarily ask. I realized I could bring the Genesa crystal into me, you know, run that energy inside of me and experience how it worked, and I was able to do that. So I hope that the other thing people are getting from this is all not, it's not about build up Catherine, like 100%, 100%, as I said earlier, it's not about, oh, I'm so great, I can do all these things. It's the opposite. It's less Catherine. And
more of what?
Well, and more of the letting the energy lead the way. So it's very humbling. That's the point I'm trying to make, and it's it's like it, for me, I'll speak for myself, it's life-changing to experience these things, and everything looks different after that. You know, it's to have it's kind of like seeing behind the wizard's curtain. You know, the wizard does all these things, and then one day the curtain opens and you see the schematic. It's like getting the schematic diagram about how this all works. And the access to that, to working with that, as Walter said so well earlier, is less and less of me.
One of the things that neuroplasticity talks about is there are neural pathways created to make something happen for us. In other words, we have an intelligence in our body that does things for us. Well, we also have an intelligence, energetic intelligence, that does things for us. But it will not do anything unless you ask. So when
ask and you shall receive, right?
Ask and you shall receive. But the second part is you have to kind of learn slowly how it creates what you're asking. It's not just about asking, but at the moment. I'll give you an example of usage of words. I did an experiment saying presenter and presenting. And the only way you can make this happen is you have to get totally detached so that you don't have any emotional response in your body. So when I said presenter, I felt tension in my body. When I said presenting, I just felt this relaxation and expansion in my body. So the energy responded to me of how it creates a pattern, an energetic pattern, based upon the thought that I use. So I realized I cannot use the word presenter, because if I do, it's going to create tension. If I use I like presenting, I feel this relaxation coming into my body. So this is an example of how it works for me. I've done it in workshops where it works opposite for a person. They need to say presenter not to feel tense. Presenting makes them tense. So you have to know which words create the emotional state you want in your body, figure them out, which ones they are, and then use only those words in describing yourself in order to feel more expansive, more relaxed, more intelligent.
Now, Catherine, how did you grow to trust what you have perceived? Let's say an instant of your tuning into your cat. How do you know that, you know, again, that it's real and that you can trust it so much?
That's an interesting question. The first thing that comes to mind is that for 20 or so years I've taught a writing practice that is about, and practiced longer than that myself, this method of writing, that is about stepping aside and letting something come through. Clarity work was an outgrowth of that. Love's Freeway was an outgrowth of clarity work, and on it goes. The energy work I'm doing now is an outgrowth of all the rest. So it's sort of like a plant growing from a seed and coming first the stem, then the leaves, then the flower, then the seed. All of this is just something that continues to grow. And so I guess, and it goes back to my childhood too and how I grew up, but I don't need to get into that. But it's all about, I've had decades of stepping aside and letting something come through. So I know what that feels like, and it has become a way of life, so that anything that I do is guided by, what I call listening and following. I hear this is the way, or I'm called to a particular way, and I follow it, and it never fails me. So I guess that's the answer. Is doing that enough? I got to see this works, so I'll keep doing it.
Okay, we have a caller online. Good morning, you're on the air with Walter and Catherine.
Good morning. Catherine mentioned a moment ago about sacred geometry, and I wonder if she could talk about that and how it might be related to dimensionality or maybe even crop circles.
Do you have a more specific question, perhaps, or it's kind of wide open?
What was the specific crystal you talked about?
Okay, I'll speak about that. The Genesa crystal, which I learned of, I guess that's how I learned of it, through Michelle Small Wright of Perelandra in Virginia. In her one of her books, she actually lays out like a sewing pattern for creating one. It's a three-dimensional ball, if you will, that has cutouts, and it has to be assembled precisely so that the cutouts are all balanced and of the same shape. Right, symmetrical. And so there are rectangles and there are triangles, and I'm no expert by any means, but I know that this shape, these shapes, have how should we say this?
Energy.
Are powerful. They're powerful and creative. So in any case, I can tell you what happened when I brought the Genesa crystal, which is sitting on my dining room table at home.
Where's the name Genesa come from?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. G-E-N-E-S-A.
Okay.
I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But I brought it inside me energetically, and let me do it again now, and I can say specifically. And what immediately happened is that I saw that, well, another... How it works, she's got one in the middle of her garden. Michelle Smallwright in Virginia, she runs Paralandra down there and creates flower essences. And
made out of paper?
Hers is made out of copper piping, I believe. Mine is made out of paper. But anyway, hold on a second. Oh, so I let me run it again. So what I get is the flower of life, if you know anything about the flower of life, and
yeah,
that everything started there. So it's the basic pattern of creation, of everything, of every piece of matter, seen and unseen. So, that's why I brought up Paralandra. So I put inside, she puts her essences inside the crystal before she packages them and sends them out. And so I've been working with it at home, putting things inside, healing from my mother, healing for, you know, anything that I want to create, healing from my cat, whatever. And by taking the crystal itself and putting it inside of me energetically, or running its energy, if you will, I saw this is how it's working. It's using the flower of life. It's almost like it's beaming the flower of life onto whatever it is inside of that. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
It does a little.
Well, one of the things I want to point out is that when Catherine says you can take an image into your own body, people sometimes look at geometric forms and try to make sense out of it and how their brain is affected by looking at it. But the reality is, if you have an image of any kind of a form, you can have it show up, and you close your eyes, have it show up in your mind so you see it. Then you ask it to enter your body, so you experience it on a physical level of what it actually, how it affects your physiology by taking that symbol right into your physical form, because any image that you see is made out of energy. Because it's made out of energy, it can become bigger or smaller, and it can actually be asked to enter your body and affect your physiology with it.
Mm-hmm. And there's certain shapes or forms that are more energetic than others, correct?
Yes, and that's the best way of doing it. It doesn't occur to individuals when they see an image that I can ask that you can actually talk to it. I used to do a lot of psychic readings, and I got used to talking to images, to asking them questions. So I know that you can take it to the next level, and I actually do. Anytime I see anything showing up in my as an image, I just... If I like it, I always ask it to enter my body, and then I run it for however long it's willing to last in my physical form, and I can feel the vibrations in my legs and my arms and my chest. And the other thing that I do is I look around with my eyes to see how my perceptions have changed because it's in my whole body. Because your eyes, the way your eyes work, the way your brain works will change because all of a sudden whatever image showed up, it's in your physical form. And that's how you master the understanding of how things work.
Mm-hmm. So could you say something about sacred geometry in general, and how it can help us?
Well, it might be simply. I mean, again, I'm no expert by any means, but I think the simplest answer is it's an energy tool. to think it just as the Genesa is an Genesa crystal is an energy tool. Dowsing rods are an energy tool. They're all making tangible, or helping to make tangible something that is otherwise rather invisible.
Okay.
And what I find is that don't make a generic statement about everything. I mentioned the whole concept of presenter presenting. What you do is you take the form of the sacred geometry you're interested in, bring your own body, and notice how it affects you. You can't make a broad statement, it's going to work like this for everybody. It does not work like that. We are creatures of habit. We are creatures of desires. And so we want different things for ourselves. So what works in one type of geometry for you will not necessarily work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So don't make broad statements. Just say, okay, this works for me in this fashion. And like I can say, okay, presenting works for me in this fashion, but it will not necessarily work like that for somebody else.
And that's the other beautiful thing about all this is that you can get your own answers and you don't have to go to someone else for them.
On the other hand, there are certain shapes and forms that I think are sacred I mentioned the crop circles. I'm going to get off the air now, but I just want to throw that out there before I do. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you so much for contributing with some very interesting questions. And the number here is 617-552-4686. 617-552-4686. And we have another caller online. Good morning. You're there with Catherine and Walter.
Oh, hi, Victor. How are you today?
Hey, who's this?
This is Margie from South Boston.
Hey, Margie.
I'm a Reiki practitioner, and I just, at the beginning of the show, you said to run the energy, like, into the middle of your brain and to calm yourself or to run it down your spine. Now, is this, without being scientific, is this anatomically, like, you know, your brain is your right hemisphere, your left hemisphere, your brain stem, your pons, your hypothalamus. Do you actually send the energy to different parts of your brain, or is it ethereal, like your chakra?
Well, the thing is that happens. We teach people how to travel inside of their brain and feel different brain parts. Well, how is that possible? Like, we teach people how to touch the actual nerves behind the eyes, and that's technically impossible. But if you understand that if you take your awareness into an area, it brings along with it chi energy. And chi energy loves to enter nerve centers. So as you bring in the your awareness toward the back of your eyes and are aware of your nerves, the chi energy starts entering the nerves and you actually feel like you actually are touching it. So you're not just sending energy to different body parts, like in microcosmic orbit. You're actually traveling with the energy consciously and are aware of where you are at every second and what part of the body you're influencing. And it's not just sending energy to that part. Like if you go to the brain stem and hang out with it, if you say the words compassion for myself or compassion for the world, it's extremely easy for the energetic system to create compassion. It's not like you're sending the energy into the brain stem. It gives you energy to create compassion.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Margie.
Okay.
All right. The number here, 617-552-4686. Now, Catherine, why don't you outline the various services that you present and how can folks get in touch with you to utilize your services?
Sure. Depending on what people are looking for, all of what I do is in all areas is the same thing, which is getting, if you will, the genius from the inside out, getting the genius expressed, whether that's the physical wisdom of the body, and that I do through Reiki practice, energy work, or expressing a true life expression so that someone's stuck and they don't know which way to go. And from my standpoint, that is a matter of listening to what's asking to be expressed in the individual and following that. So that's something that came to me as clarity work. So I do clarity work for that, for helping people get unstuck. And that's both privately individual sessions and workshops. In fact, I have a workshop coming up. If people want to know about that, they can be in touch. my email address, probably the easiest one to share here, is clarity@clarityworkonewordnos.com. And then I also write and publish my writing and photography at Love's Freeway.
Is that lovesfreeway.com?
There as well. Lovesfreeway.com, all one word, no apostrophe. And Boston Reiki Healing is where you might find resources about my energy practice and energy work in general.
And Walter, why don't you outline your various services?
Well, we have New Beat Poets, newbeatpoets.com, this Friday at Unity Somerville in Davis Square, three blocks from Davis Square, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, where you are welcome to improvisational poetry. And I encourage people to perform the poem as opposed to just reading. You can read it if you'd like to. And this coming Saturday, next week, we have the Laughter Club and the Neuroplasticity Club. I encourage people to show up for both. And this is where you actually meet people who are really, Catherine, very sophisticated with energy and very sophisticated with laughter. A lot of the things we do, I've taken the concept of laughter and energy, and we've put it on stage in two performances called Energy Theater. Each one is a unique play, utilizing energy, comedy, music.
And in retrospect, speaking of poetry, I'm a poet and writer and a longtime writing teacher and writing coach, a.k.a. literary midwife. And
I was going to ask you what's meant by that.
Midwife books is what I do when I'm working with people on projects individually. I've midwifed many a book. And it's a real privilege to help give birth to these beautiful books. And it's all about facilitation, as I said, getting what's in there out. And I realize I was starting to say in retrospect, as I get more energy aware, that what my students and clients have been drawn to, I believe, is it's kind of like having a psychic writing teacher, you know, to actually be listened to be heard in a way that you really get what that person is trying to say. So, and in clarity work, it's the same thing. I am not imposing anything. I am teasing out of that creature, that soul, that spirit, that body, that mind, what's there to be expressed. So I think, as I said, in retrospect, that's what's been drawing people is wow, this whatever happened, whatever she's doing, it's getting me to know what I want to say. It's, you know, it's getting out of me what I want, what I didn't even know I had in me in some cases.
All right, now getting unstuck, how do you begin working with someone who is in a life sucks mode, and their life really sucks?
Well, you want to be more specific?
Well, someone who has constantly having health problems, money problems,
okay, good.
Relationship problems,
good.
Just like everything.
Yeah. excuse me. Clarity work wise, if you were to call me and say that to me, mm-hmm. immediately I start listening from a certain place, and I'm listening to, if you will, the story. You know, what is behind the words? What is behind the creation? Because this all has been created. So what I do in clarity work is get to the root. We dig. I shouldn't say we dig until we get to the root of that. So all of that has a birthplace. Mm-hmm. All of that began somewhere. And that's what clarity work is getting to the bottom of that. And I use the analogy of the of a dandelion, you know, getting to ripping it off at the, or cutting it at the soil level. It keeps growing back, which is I think what can happen in therapy. You know, you address this and address that and get this insight and that insight and clear this and clear that, but you're still only halfway down the route sometimes. And it can be very frustrating to keep seeing things, patterns show up again and again. So getting to the bottom, you can actually dig it out and then it's gone.
All right, now what about karma? All right. What I'm hearing is almost as if you could override karma with this inner exploration process, manifesting what you want, manifesting any energy you choose.
Do you want to comment on that, Walter? If you don't, I will. All right. Well, excuse me. So many parts to this. I'll see if I can keep it straight in my head. One thing that I learned from Walter is that past lives are not past. that the DNA of those past lives is available now. In other words, things I learned in other lifetimes, especially if I'm energy aware, I can benefit from, I can transform, I can still work with. So in clarity work, 98% of the time, whatever is dogging the person, whatever is not clear or has them stuck, has its source in this lifetime. There have been those, did I say 98? 2% of the clients where it did start in another lifetime. And that is, it's a little more challenging, especially, well, primarily if someone doesn't believe in other lifetimes. So that can be a little tricky. But be that as it may, as I said, I learned from Walter that it's all kind of a continuum. So it's just expanding the framework for the length of the dandelion is longer, if you will. I'm not sure. Does that answer your question?
Oh, that's very good, Walter.
You know, what Catherine means by learning from me, I would notice her face change to a personality, whether male or female, from a different lifetime, and I would see them wearing different clothes. I would say, could you just go inside the middle of your brain, and I would tell them the description of what I was seeing, and the image of that person would show up. Then she would bring that image into her body. Then she would start re-experiencing all the gifts and talents of the individual of that past lifetime. Most people say karma in terms of like we got to pay debts, but it also, karma is also about the gifts and abilities that you have from those lifetimes that you can make consciously aware of. So you want to be able to take it in, like going to college. So that's what she means by learning from me. It's that I would just notice the pattern, that I would encourage her to manifest it.
And Walter, what is your address for your various services, your websites? Or
If you just go to either neuroplasticityclub.com or newbeatpoets.com or energytheater.org or just Google Walter Ness and I'm all over the place. I'm basically interested in performance art, performance in poetry, performance in energy theater. We've taken Newbeat Poets to the Natick Art Gallery, and we just blew their minds away. They've never seen a performance of poetry and storytelling like we've done. Catherine, I was able to have Catherine sit and do her poetry while I would touch parts of her, top of her head, and activate different brain parts as she was doing poetry. When we stopped, I said, well, how was it to the audience? And they said her face kept changing. So as I was activating different brain parts, her face would become different. And that was really amazing how that worked.
And Catherine, one more time, how can people get in touch with you and your various services?
My phone number is 617-522-2737. Give me a call, even if you just want to chat. I don't mean just if you want to chat. clarity@claritywork.com. is my email, and the three websites for my three different practices, BostonReikiHealing.com, LovesFreeway.com, and ClarityWork.com.
Okay, thank you very much for expanding our awareness regarding inner exploration process. And if you want to talk to Catherine or Walter or both of them, give them a call off the air. If you're one of the folks who are too darn shy to call up on live radio, that number is 617-552-3511, 617-552-3511. And I want to once again mention this event that's happening tonight. It's called the Mystical Art and Talent Show. And it's a program of persons who draw on dreams, meditations, religion, nature, and there are going to be performances of readings and storytellings and music with local spiritual artists. And this happens at the Cambridge Swedenborg Chapel, which is at 50 Quincy Street in Cambridge, opposite Sanders Theater in beautiful Harvard Square. Thank you once again, folks.
Thank you.
And again, the number is 617-552-3511. And if you want to contact me, probably the easiest way to do is shoot me an email at expandingawareness@yahoo.com. Maybe you want to be represented on the program regarding some aspect of the paranormal or holistic health. And, well, you know what this program is about. And enjoy your dreams, folks. And we have Sounds of Descent coming up. Yes, we do.